Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
Man, I'm feeling great. Happy Friday to you, boys and girls. I've got one question and one question only. How do you feel? That's all that really matters. And we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Thanks for being with us on a Target Demo Friday. Let us know how you're listening, where you're listening, and what you're doing, and I'll read through those coming up here toward the end of the hour. You can hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS, with those. You can also hit me up on Facebook at facebook.com/TheDAShow. I've got your tasty top five, my top five favorite football games of the week, coming up here on the show in approximately 15 minutes from now. By the way, week two of the NFL on CBS begins with an AFC East showdown between the Pats and the Dolphins. Then they travel west to watch Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs battle the Raiders in Oakland. It all begins with the NFL Today only on CBS. So that's all coming up here in the final hour of the Da Show. We've got last night's Panthers and Buccaneers game, which from sloppy play, poor offense, a weather delay, and an injured Cam Newton, that was a dog food 3-4 hours or so that you had to devote to watching football. And yes, it's nice to have football back, but not when you have to look at it like that. And I would say that for the Carolina Panthers, it is full-blown alarm time, okay? Full-blown alarm time. Because for the Panthers, if you've got a fourth and one from the 1.5, and you punch it into the end zone and you potentially win, you take the lead. And the guy that has had more quarterback sneaks than anybody else of his era, you feel so unconfident about that you decide to split him wide as a decoy, direct snap to Christian McCaffrey, and fake a reverse to the wide receiver, you are playing and coaching scared. The Panthers and Ron Rivera, and specifically Norv Turner, who is employed to call the offense, they are coaching scared. And I suppose they're coaching scared because of the injuries to Cam Newton, the shoulder surgery, and rehabbing off of that. The foot injury, although Rivera insists the foot has nothing to do with it. But for Cam Newton to not touch the football, a former NFL MVP didn't touch the football on the single most important play of the game from the 1.5-yard line last night. It's coaching scared. That's how you lose games. And yes, the Panthers are scared of Cam Newton's health. And they are scared of a lack of arm strength. And they are scared of re-injuring that shoulder. And they are scared of re-injuring the foot. That is the only way to explain him not getting the football at the goal line last night. It's the only way. There's no other explanation. Christian McCaffrey is a great offensive weapon. But because they're coaching scared, because they have telegraphed what they can't do with Cam Newton, they are giving McCaffrey no room for error and no space to operate. North Turner has built a wonderful career play calling in the NFL. Last night was indefensible. Indefensible! You have a Panthers offense, an organization that has been defined by physical play, by winning the trenches, by smash mouth. Ron Rivera was a member of the freaking 85 Bears. That's how he wants to play. Smash you down. Smash you to bits. You got fourth and one to win the game. And instead of Cam Newton and a quarterback sneak, instead of Cam Newton diving over top, instead of Cam Newton leaning for the first down, instead of handing off to a power running back, instead of trying to win the trenches, you got fancy. Hey, I got news for the Panthers. You ain't fancy. Oh, you fancy, huh? You fancy. No, you ain't fancy. You're still the Panthers. And on fourth and one, running McCaffrey on a fake Philly special wide when Cam Newton is split outside is utterly insane. As for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, look, I have already claimed my flag on the top of the Mount Jameis. Bust. I say send it into the U.S. Patent Office. It's done. Forget the or Taco Tuesday. Jameis Winston is a bust. B-U-S-T. Year five, he hasn't gotten it, and in week number one, he's throwing three picks, including two pick sixes. If you ain't got it by now, sorry, you ain't got it. And last night, you saw the graphic that Fox ran. You saw it. Jameis Winston, in his career, has more turnovers than anybody else in the NFL, has more interceptions than anybody else in the NFL, is tied for the most fumbles lost with anybody in the NFL. He has played 57 games. He has 79 turnovers. That is almost 1.5 turnovers a game. And by the way, guys, that does not include fumbles that were not lost. That includes only the fumbles that were lost. That means that Jameis Winston has even put the ball on the turf with the defense for the chance to pick it up more than that. But guess what? Last night, no turnovers. No turnovers. No turnovers. How could that happen? Last night, Jameis Winston completed only 16 passes. He only attempted 25 of them. It wasn't like the Buccaneers did anything great offensively. He threw for a touchdown, no INTs, some bad sacks where he's showing absolutely no field awareness, none whatsoever, dodging around, looking downfield, running into the oncoming pass rush, not getting it thrown away. But he made a couple of good throws. I mean, the touchdown of Chris Godwin was a good throw over the seam, into the seam of the defensive secondary. And didn't have to do too much. Now, Vernon Hargraves and the Buccaneers defense saved his butt with that late stop on McCaffrey, and the Buccaneers defense was in the kitchen of Cam Newton for most of the night. And Todd Bowles' defense and Todd Bowles' much maligned head coach of the Jets has proven in the first 2 weeks, you know what? They've got something there in Tampa Bay with Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles, their defensive scheme. But you know what I think that Bruce Arians is doing? Making Jameis Winston a game manager. I think that's what the whole intent here is. that Jameis Winston, by virtue of ego and success and swagger and personality and charisma, has always been the I got it guy. I'll make the play guy. I'll go deep. I'll shake off the defender. Oncoming blitz, I'm going to get away. I'm going to make something happen. Because Jameis Winston he's got a lot of Favre in there. I got this. I'll make something happen. I'm going to keep chucking. I'm going to keep going downfield. Except Brett Favre, with all of his turnovers, also had a slew of touchdowns and big plays and big moments and won a Super Bowl and went to two and had big games. And Jameis hasn't. I think Bruce Arians has looked at Jameis Winston and said, look, there's pieces here to work with. He has athletic ability. He's got arm ability. But his accuracy is terrible. His game management is terrible. His, in the heat of the moment, decision-making is terrible. You know what? We got to strip him of all of that. And I think what you saw last night was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going, we can't win games because of Jameis Winston. We have to win games in spite of Jameis Winston. Can we turn him into something that he hasn't been? Now, the problem here with doing that is Jameis Winston's value as a game manager? I mean, there's game managers out there. You can find game managers. Is Jameis Winston the new Brad Johnson? Win by defense, power running game, and instead just make sure Brad Johnson doesn't screw it up, game manager? Look, that might be his reality, but you don't draft a quarterback number one overall to be a game manager. Let's face it. So inherently there is a problem here because a guy drafted that high, you can find another game manager. You can find a Brad Johnson if that's all you want. But I think ultimately that's where we are with Jameis. Because, look, last night, Mraz, they didn't let Jameis Winston throw downfield. But essentially, Bruce Arians told Jameis, you're not throwing anything more than 15 yards downfield. Don't even think about it. And if you do, I'm going to scold you on the sideline. That entire game was all underneath stuff, try to run the football, to set up a play-action pass, and just don't let Jameis Winston make bad decisions. The whole thing. Can it work? Can that be the evolution of Jameis? Well, if he's smart, he'll take the reins. He'll take the coaching. He'll take the tutelage because that's how he'll save a job in the NFL. That's how he'll save being a starter in the NFL. I think if he doesn't, he becomes kind of a lifelong backup. I don't think he's going to get many other chances to be starting if this year goes poorly. So if he's smart, he'll take that advice and go with it. But it goes to show you that what we thought Jameis could have been perhaps in the NFL, here's a really smart quarterback guru going, no, you can't turn him loose. He's got to throw underneath the entire game, and we'll try to win with defense. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back here on the DA show, I've got your tasty top five. Here's my top five favorite college football games of the weekend in order and how to watch. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Little wet, little drippy, 24/7.
DA, first of all, I want to start off by saying, man, I think you're one of the best sports talk radio hosts in America.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Well, I appreciate that very much. And if you'd like to listen to the best sports talk host in America, hey, I didn't say it. He did. Every single day, there's so many different ways you can do so. Listen to us across the great CBS Sports Radio network and all of our affiliates. Also, listen to us on Sirius XM Channel 206. And we're in your pocket, on your phone. Listen to us using the radio.com app. Also, full podcasts and full episodes are there on radio.com. You can also listen to us using the CBS Sports app. You can listen to us using Apple Music. And you can watch us, including today, at watchda.com. Every single day, we got the podcasts going. So you can listen to us if you miss anything as well. And the simulcast going if you want to watch the show at watchda.com. Every Friday, I like to peel through, dig in to the college football schedule and see what my favorite games to watch tomorrow is and are. It is time to get tasty. Here's your tasty top five.
Every week, DA gives you his most appetizing college football games.
This is a tasty burger.
It's the tasty top five.
I'm tasty.
Number five.
I'm actually going to give you a bonus game as well. You want a bonus game, which is really not about the competition level, but the intrigue surrounds basically gallows humor. How low can it go? UT Chattanooga at Tennessee. The Vols, of course, are already on life support. They've lost their first two games, both at Neyland Stadium. Massive heat on Jeremy Pruitt. And now Chattanooga comes to town. Could you imagine if UT loses to the Mocs at home and drops to 0-3, all losses in Knoxville? It would be absolute Armageddon in the Volunteer State. That's an SEC Network game at noon. Let's just see where Tennessee's confidence is going into that game. Your number five game of the weekend for me is Arizona State against Michigan State. Remember last year how this thing went down? That was the first year of new head coach Herm Edwards in the desert and a good Michigan State team that came in with a lot of preseason expectations went down to Arizona State and lost in a field goal fest 16-13. Revenge game for the Spartans. Michigan State is a much better team than Arizona coming into this one. Michigan State is also a 15-point favorite in this. But since the Sun Devils turned the trick last year, maybe there's a little bit of magic left for Herm in year number two. That's your number five game of the week. That's a 4 p.m. kickoff Eastern time on Fox.
Number four.
Last week, Stanford really got embarrassed by USC on the road to the Coliseum, and a lot of that had to do with Stanford's inability to protect their backup quarterback. KJ Costello was out for that game. This week, the Cardinal gets Costello back, but their opponent is harder. They go on the road to Orlando to take on number 17, the UCF Knights, and in this game, UCF is a heavy favorite. They're an 8.5-point favorite in this game at home. If UCF wants to crash the party, which every year they're looking to do, you've got to beat your Power 5 teams. And the Power 5 teams they got on the schedule this year include Stanford and Pitt. It starts this week with Stanford. So can the Knights and Brandon Wimbush, a top 20 team right now, get a win over a Power 5 program? Doesn't help that Stanford got waxed last week by the Trojans, but still a Power 5 team, good reputation for Stanford. Everybody likes David Shaw as a head coach. It's a well-coached program. So Stanford coming in to UCF, into Orlando, with the moat, the lazy river around, big-time opportunity for UCF on a national stage. That's a 3:30 Eastern kick on ESPN.
Number three.
Well, this should have been the most interesting game of the weekend. It looked like the most interesting game of the weekend in the preseason, and it was Clemson at Syracuse. 2 years ago, Clemson lost this game at the Carrier Dome, and Syracuse wasn't nearly this good. Last year, Syracuse went down to Clemson and nearly pulled off the upset. Somehow, Dino Babers has the only, he might be the only coach in America that might have a page or have a hook or a secret on slowing down Dabo's offense and winning this game and beating the Tigers. But it's just so hard to see that happening after what happened last week for Syracuse against Maryland. The Orange went down to College Park and got absolutely dismantled. And if that Maryland team can put up 42 points in the first half, what will this Clemson team do? It was so ugly last week that College Game Day said, yeah, you know what, we're not going to do that anymore. And so Clemson-Syracuse went from the number one matchup of the weekend to no better than the number three and maybe even lower than that. The only reason I'm keeping in the top three is simply because Syracuse has had their number the last 2 years under Dino, and because of it, and it's on the road to the Carrier Dome, maybe Syracuse can put a scare into Clemson. But I think what we're learning is Clemson is as good as we thought they were going to be, and Syracuse is worse than they thought we were going to be. Worse than we thought they were going to be, rather. And so that means that the spread, Clemson by nearly 4 touchdowns. Personally, I think SU keeps it closer than 4 touchdowns, but hey, no doubt, I will admit, you're talking about me as a graduate. I'm a homer here. I think they'll close it on the number closer than 4 touchdowns, but look, if this ends up being a 52-10 win by Clemson, I can't say it's all that surprising. It's at night. It's at the Dome. It's a conference game. SU has played them tough recently. Let's see if it happens again. That's 7:30 Eastern time on ABC tomorrow.
Number two.
I'm broadcasting from Lexington this weekend, but not because I'm going to the game, unfortunately. I'm here. The Bourbon Belle graduated from UK, and so her best friend is getting married down here. So there's a big game going on at Kroger Field. That is Florida at Kentucky. The Wildcats, for 2 decades, unable to beat Florida. Couldn't do it. Something always happened. Usually it was the Gators, just a powerful program in Kentucky, a miserable program. But also there's just been bad bounces and things that just haunted them, ghosts that came out of nowhere in this rivalry. Well, 2 years ago it happened again. Kentucky should have beaten them, but just couldn't figure out a way to, you know, cover guys downfield in the waning seconds of the game. And then last year they finally got over the hump and Kentucky beat Florida. This game actually might be one of the most interesting games of the weekend, and I think nobody's talking about it. But number 9 Florida going on the road to Kentucky. Florida's top 10 team. The Gators have designs of trying to win the SEC East. They're going to have to battle Georgia. Georgia is where the standard is. But Kentucky last year had a really good team, won 10 games. This year not going to be nearly as good. They just lost their starting quarterback last week to an ACL, and that was a brutal loss. But this one's still at Kentucky. Had Allen, their starting quarterback, been playing, you feel much better about Kentucky maybe again upsetting the Gators. It's tougher to see tomorrow night. But in this game, again, the tide has turned. Kentucky's been the better team in this rivalry the last 2 years. Can they at least put a scare into the Gators? The Gators are 8.5-point favorites in this game. And this is 7 o'clock Eastern kick on ESPN.
Number one.
We got to go to the corn mazes of Iowa, because this is where College Game Day is going to be, and this is the most interesting game of the weekend. Number 19, Iowa at Iowa State. Now, rarely is a team barely in the top 20 taking on a team unranked the best game of the weekend, but here is why it is. Iowa is a top 20 team that is once again doing what Iowa does under Kirk Ferentz. Play well in the trenches, don't turn the ball over, run the football, play good defense. And because of it, they are one of those Big Ten teams that, you know, on any given Saturday can absolutely pull an upset or, you know, find themselves late in the year in November playing for a spot in the Big Ten championship game. They go to Ames, and the Cyclones program has been on such hard times for so long. What Matt Campbell there has done is instilled excitement. They're a tough-nosed, hard-nosed, hitch-in-the-mouth team that's all about defense. And last year wasn't as good as people would have expected, but now they've got their interstate rival coming into town, into Ames, with game day there. This is such a massive opportunity for that Iowa State program. Iowa comes into town. College Game Day is there, and you could knock off a top 20 team and probably put yourself into the top 25. Iowa's a very slim favorite of this game, favored by just 2 points on the road. This one has 2 fan bases that can't stand one another. In the state, it's house divided. Iowa State's always the ugly ducklings against Iowa, and they got them in their house. This is the Cyclones' chance at national recognition. This is your best game of the weekend. This is a 4 p.m. Eastern kick on FS1. And that's your tasty top five games of the college football weekend. It is a Target Demo Friday, and so we want to know what you're doing as you listen to the show. So load them up on Twitter, DA on CBS, and also on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow. And I'll read through your Target Demo Friday messages coming up straight ahead. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
Callers come on, they have to ask to board. If he grants them permission to board, he plays that sound effect. Like,
you know,
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Now you're getting the picture. Welcome back, DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. You know, the DA show doesn't end at noon Eastern time, Monday through Friday. There's also the PGP, the Permission Granted Podcast, the show about the show within the show. And this week, we discuss an event that I'm unfortunately going to miss tomorrow. Meraz's dad has built his own bar in the backyard that we've talked about here on the show, Bob's Bar. And Bob, because he's a legend, because he's a legend of the deli biz, because he's a legend of West Babylon, New York, has hired a band, a real-life band, to perform at his bar in his backyard tomorrow night.
Oh, it's tonight, DA. It's tonight.
Oh, tonight.
It's tonight. The parade takes the stage at 7 p.m.
And I'm seven states away, and I'm totally bummed out because I would totally be there. But we discuss the inner workings of Bob the Deli Man, the Prince of Boar's Head, actually hiring a band called The Parade to come in and play his backyard. Now, is there any type of rider for this band? Like, are they mandating only green M&Ms, perhaps only Keystone Light? Any demands from these guys?
Just that they needed plywood since they don't often play on grass to formulate some kind of stage for their drummer. So the only thing they asked for was plywood. They're going to eat and drink whatever's thrown their way. And frankly, it's going to be an interesting show. I have people texting me, asking me if there's any tickets at will call.
Sure.
Obviously the room is filled up quickly. I hope the bartenders get tipped well. It's going to be an interesting night.
Yeah, they're a dome team. They don't often play on grass.
Right, exactly. They're usually on real stages, not under the oak in the back.
So, you can listen to this week's PGP, the Permission Granted Podcast, and get the lowdown on a one-of-a-lifetime opportunity, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to go watch a band in Meraz's backyard where there's a bar that has been built. Now, we have some amazing listeners. Just really, truly, the aliens are hysterical, which is why I love doing the show every day. You guys really genuinely make me laugh every single day on Twitter and on the phones and on Facebook and on Instagram. And Jim tweets, DA, if you want a good laugh, get a hold of John Sterling's call in the top of the first inning of the second game of the doubleheader against the Tigers. With the third batter of the game, D.D. Gregorius is at the plate, and Sterling says, line drive, fouled back. It's hilarious. Sterling is a gem. Well, Jim, we went into the archives, and Meraz has dug this one up. Let's play the great John Sterling on the Yankees radio network.
It's kind of an eerie setting, a very dramatic setting. The fog has come in on this gray, dark, cloudy, overcast day. The 2-1. Live foul back by Didi. And the count 2-2.
Unbelievable. How is that lined?
Lied fouled back.
Can you line a foul ball? Is possible?
No. A line drive is definitely not a foul ball straight back. A line drive could be a foul ball down the line, but it cannot be fouled back, a line drive fouled back. That's not what a line drive is.
So he's just guessing now when the bat swings. He's guessing what it's going to be.
Well, I think, look, this is the second game of a doubleheader. It's a long day for 80-year-old John Sterling. The ball jumps off the bat, and he sees it going forward and just assumes it is going forward. But in fact, it's backspin and coming right back at you. Let's hear that one more time. It is a line fouled straight back.
It's kind of an eerie setting, a very dramatic setting. The fog has come in on this gray, dark, cloudy, overcast day. The 2-1. Live foul back by Didi. And the count 2-2.
The count's 2-2. Let's get to your question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts, everybody. You're asked the pros question of the day. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Holly tweets in, DA, do you think Gronk is trying to keep himself from coming back? Perhaps he's sharing all of this about his NFL experience because he wants to play football, but he knows his body is already in danger and he's trying to put himself in a position that he can't return. You know, I wonder, that's an interesting theory, Holly. Perhaps, you know, I think Gronk probably has an emotional connection to Tom, to that franchise, to those fans. And how could you not want to feel that again if you could? And if every day you're being asked, hey, Gronk, you coming back? We can win a Super Bowl with you, Gronk. Don't you want to feel that again? We love you, Gronk. Come back, Gronk. Do this, Gronk. Do that, Gronk. I'm sure there's an emotional draw. And maybe he is bringing up all these dark moments in his life, not to remind us he can't come back, but to remind himself he can't come back. Maybe he needs to keep talking about this and reminding himself that I was in a really bad place. It's really dangerous if I come back, and I shouldn't come back even if I want to come back. Maybe that's it. But if he does come back and he keeps telling us about how awful and dark and miserable and depressing it was when he was going through all of that stuff, it's going to seem really disingenuous. Let's bring you your Target Demo Friday.
It's a three-hour black hole block party. Here's what our listeners are doing as they connect to the mothership.
On Twitter, Rob of the 814, hitting the gym, cutting the grass, then taking in my son to his homecoming football game. Hashtag no fly zone. Hashtag beam me up. There you go, Rob. Well done. Hans is in South Carolina, listening on radio.com via Alexa, wrapping up classes for the week on a clear sunny day. Checking out the band Senior Year later today, a top-tier local cover band of the area. Hey, Hans, is that the same band Mraz's dad has coming in today? Mike tweets in, DA, how about a permission-granted profile on the mastermind behind Bob's Bar? You know, the great Bob himself. Andrew says, DA, let's call him the Baron of Boar's Head. These are great suggestions. Not good suggestions, great suggestions. I'm all in at a PGP between Mraz and his dad. AZ's in Wisco, listening on radio.com of the app. Ditch the wife and the kids for a weekend trip to Austin for good music, barbecue, and good times with a really good friend. Hashtag Moody Theater.
Wow.
Well, that sounds like a good weekend. USAYT tweets, football and beer this weekend, DA, 96.5 in Harrisburg. And then I'm listening after that to the app after the first hour. And then there's a lot of stuff I can't read about. Radio affiliates and bosses and programming decisions. So I'm just not going to do that. Boise, River, Koi, and Pond Supply, DA. I'm watching at watchda.com because, okay, yeah. Again, I can't read that. If I get to tweets that are being mean about the affiliates because they decided not to take our full three-hour show this week, I'm just going to say I can't read that or bad news or not happy. Okay, how did that sound? Anon tweets, I'm listening on the TuneIn app while working the grounds and greens at Woodland Country Club in Indianapolis. Hashtag, we need another Her montage. That sounds like a really good idea, actually. Rob tweets, I'm listening in Boise on the radio.com app, digging trenches. Well, you have a job, huh? Jay in the 208, living the tow truck life. Nothing to do with actual tows, Mraz. On call until 6 p.m. Monday night, hooking and booking. And this guy's not happy as well. Happy. Have a great weekend. Rob in the 321, listening to the first hour in 1560 of the Fan, then radio.com. Help me, DA. I'm setting up for a wedding, and it was the attack of the pickleballers in the Civic Center. I can't get away. Can I get a beam up? No hangovers for you, good sir. Here you go. A. Pierce is loading his truck for another 500-mile round trip at work. Thank God it's Friday, listening to radio.com. Fernando is in Vegas, listening on 1140 to radio. Barbecue by the pool and to see Northwestern destroy my UNLV Rebels 50-17. Hashtag, here we go again. Hemsky in Tucson, morning, DA, listening to the traveling derby mothership on radio.com. Shout out to Dixieland Dan's daughter, the Big Three, heading north to Phoenix to hang with family and watch my brother ref hockey. Have fun in Kentucky. Dixieland Dan, my daughter's birthday is Saturday. She's turning three. We're going to have 160 dogs, 5 trays of buffalo chicken dip, 6 gallons of homemade ice cream, and a giant inflatable bouncy house. This is all approved by Mirage. Can I get a mothership shout-out for her, please? Absolutely. Happy birthday, the Big Three.
It's electric.
Chris is on 6:40 a.m. in Tennessee, riding around working, hoping the Vols are actually going to show up tomorrow. Brady says, can I get a beam up? I'm listening on radio.com here in Starkville, Mississippi, while I'm at work, and thank God for the mothership. It sure makes life easier. Hashtag zap zap. Leo is in Des Moines, driving from there to Milwaukee. A lot of corn, DA. A lot of corn. Oh, I've been to Iowa, and that's all you see for hours upon hours upon hours at end. A lot of corn. And John is on Twitter saying, DA, the ocean blowed out. No fishing today, so I'm sitting by the pool drinking a silver bullet. Well, good for you, John. That sounds like a good way to kick off your weekend. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. And last night, Cam Newton not only lost the game and called it a question, just how much responsibility he has about all of this, and he's got to look in the mirror, but while doing so, he was wearing an old woman's babushka. It is your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
I actually respect Cam Newton's answers last night. I thought when he said, I've got to look in the mirror.
And I got, it's time for me to look myself in the mirror. And
I've got to be better.
That's what I have to figure out.
I give people harsh criticism. I've got to expect harsh criticism myself. I respect that. And yet I've got to hear that coming out of the mouth of a guy that is wearing a babushka.
Do some real soul searching.
I can't possibly do it. I'm serious about this take. You're going to think I'm joking. I'm not. That guy can't win a Super Bowl.
Because I had opportunities tonight, and I didn't get it done.
Come on.
He just can't. Not because I don't want him to. A guy wearing a Planters peanut guy top hat, or a guy wearing a monocle, or a guy wearing an old lady's babushka.
Physical. Cool.
That guy's not going to win a Super Bowl. It's just not going to happen.
No matter what, foot, shoulder.
You cannot, before addressing the media about this, take the time to wrap the babushka, tie it perfectly. I'm sure he didn't get it right on the first shot. Make sure the hair is perfectly frilled and spiked out from underneath the babushka. Make sure the glasses fit right. Like, to go through that long a process of doing it is almost as long as it would take you to study some of the defenses you're going to see.
I wish I could say something other than that.
It's just a bad look. You cannot do up your whole self like that and then come out and dress the meat. You have to, at that point, I want to see, you know, mud on your shirt, everything like that.
No type of reasons why.
And you dress it that way and seem like a real hero. But to take the time to go through all that, only to stand up there and take responsibility. How about take responsibility for what you're wearing?
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
More Target Demo Friday on Facebook. Chris is in Florence, South Carolina. The CBS Sports app, I was channeling my inner Tony Romo last night, told my son Norv Turner and Cam will lose this game. I nailed it. Alex tweets, I'm in Boise listening on the radio.com app. No old lady babushka today for me, just blue and orange supporting my Broncos. Jacob writes on Facebook, I'm driving to Boise for the weekend to visit my dad and go to Joe's Crab Shack. I'm listening on Big Country Sports 99.1. Coming home on Sunday to get our hunting gear out and sight in rifles. It's almost time to fill that freezer. Doxy on Facebook, Long Beach, listening on radio.com and the app on my way to drop off the kids and head over to work. I'm not wearing a babushka, sorry. Cam's hair looked like the Cynthia doll from Rugrats. Peter tweets, or he's on Facebook, I'm in Clemson, South Carolina, screen printing and listening on radio.com. Hashtag get me out. Peter, you're almost there. It's Friday. Timothy's in Shreveport on Facebook on 100.7 and the Radio.com app. Love the show. Keep up the good work. Tim, keep grinding, baby. Edward writes, I'm in Ohio on the Radio.com app, leaving work after getting that long money, then taking the boat to Sandusky Bay in the morning to punch some catfish in the face and then deep fry them. It's about the money, DA. You need to eat like this. Is that how you fish for catfish? You're punching them in the face? I need to see that on video. Joseph is on Radio.com. What was Rivera thinking? Cam Newton could have sashayed into the end zone. What happened to Cam of the Panthers last night is something that we have been asking all day long. Hey, that'll do it for us. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of the DA Show. Thanks to Billy Giacalone. Great job in the last 2 days on the Wheels of Steel, filling in for Pete the Body. Thank you, Sam Rubinoff at WatchDA.com with the simulcast, and Andrew Bogish on your headlines. I'll see you for Sunday morning football, everybody. The Mothership disconnects.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.